Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bean. And I got to say, Chris, I'm pretty excited about today.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we finally are back to the line-by-line analysis.
Yeah, that. But we haven't done it in a while, and I'm a little anxious, and I'm glad we have a song that's really going to ease us into it. You know, one of these simple songs that there really isn't much to say about. There's only a few lines, and I can't imagine this taking more than 10 minutes, right?
You already made me put my face in my hands just over the sheer idea of
the
stuff.
Why is that? I have to make happy hour here in a few minutes, actually, so can we make this quick?
Yeah, I think for people that may be catching up with a lot of Kanye's process, the dude loves using references, allusions, samples to really bring in context and subtext from works outside of just the lyrics that are on the page that really give depth to what's being said. And giving Kanye a Bible and having him make a Bible album, he really... really takes it to the next level.
This motherfucker. I thought, hey, look, Jesus is King. It's not a long album. All the songs are pretty short. This is going to be easy. This motherfucker's got this thing loaded with references. He's got me looking up verses, making crazy conspiracy theories. This is harder than any other season so far, I feel like.
Yeah, because I've never read the Bible. In fact, yesterday when Travis and I were going over things, I was like, oh, the Bible really does begin with Genesis, doesn't it?
Oh, weird.
But I'm learning and putting things together, and I've just read so many of the Psalms now, I'm quoting Corinthians to people.
Plus, we have a lot of people who do know about the Bible who keep messaging us and just educating us. So it's by the end of this show, I think we're going to be experts.
Yeah, and for all you who are well-versed in the Bible, please give us a little bit of patience when it comes to maybe some of the interpretations of concepts. I think we get the gist of it, but there might be some details we may miss here and there. So if you have some insights and you think that there's something that we should know, by all means, email us, tweet at us. If you DM us, we don't read as many DMs these days, but definitely reach out in some way.
Yeah, you'll be mixed in with the thousands of DMs we get. On the other hand, if you email us, there's only a handful of you guys.
That's right. So, I don't know. Do you have any other preamble before we get into every hour?
Oh, man. No, other than I'm really fucking excited because to me, this is a classic first track from Kanye. To me, there's just as much to talk about with Every Hour, which is a seemingly simple song that Kanye's not even in. I feel like I could say just as much about this song as I could about Ultralight Beam, because again, of Kanye being a storyteller first and foremost and setting up so much in the subtleties of the song, because he is an artist and this is what artists do. You know, they don't, it's not that they want to, it's not like they're looking to make their art hard to digest or anything, but Kanye as an artist, like he's pulling from the things he knows. He's pulling from the Bible. He's pulling from his inspirations right now. So like, there's just a shitload packed into the song that you wouldn't immediately realize.
No, and I think we should maybe get people on kind of like the grander concept of what the album seems to be doing, just in terms of structure wise. We see it operating in what's called a cheesiastic structure.
I think it's chiastic.
Chiastic. Oh my God. How cheesy of me. chiastic structure that's a 5-1-5. So you have one half of the album that has a certain tone to it, and then a pivot point. That's a one in the middle. And then the last half that is a contrasting or juxtaposing tone that kind of mirrors in some way the rhythm or concepts of the first half. And you get power and concept through the juxtaposition of those halves and the tipping point that's there in the middle. And we really see that Kanye on previous albums often uses the first track, as most novels use the first chapter, most movies use the first scene, to really set the tone and set up what the character journey is going to be and just give the viewer kind of a taste of things to come. And it would seem Every Hour is along that same line. Like, as you said, there's not a whole lot of Kanye here, same with Ultra Light Beam, but it kind of puts into place the foundation of the journey that we're going to go on, in this case, reaching a point where you're singing every hour, every minute, every second.
Yeah, and the other important thing to note about chiastic structure, you know, we're positive that this is the structure of the entire album, and it parallels ancient Hebrew poetry. You know, it's very opposite from what we're used to in, like, Western art, books, TV, television, movies. Ancient Hebrew poetry, you know, that's the genre that psalms are written in. And our resident preacher, Washington Throne preacher Emilio, he said we should call him that, and I'm going to do it. he said that basically, you know, Jesus is King is kind of designed for repeat listens, because it has that flow. Like, it goes from one spot to the other. It's not like it has beginning, middle, end. It kind of just goes in a wave, and it kind of feels cyclical in that way. That it's designed for multiple repeat listens, which is the exact same way the ancients would interact with the Psalms. You know, they're meant to be meditative, and they're supposed to make you think, and you're supposed to keep going over the words and digesting them and see how they apply to your life and everything. So, and I mean, here Psalms are very song-like by nature. And here we have, starting the album, a gospel song, pretty much just a straight up gospel song. It's, I don't know, that I find that all like super fascinating and very interconnected.
The cool thing about Kanye and chiastic structure as well is that Kanye has talked about that he first got the idea for the church when he was in the hospital in November of 2016, after he had had his breakdown and was getting treated in the psych ward and was really in and out of it, like trying to recover due to the stress of the tour, his bipolar really acting up, and this being his first kind of diagnosis or serious medical event with his bipolar disorder. He said that that was when he first had the idea for starting a church. And it seemed that he had started to get back to religion in 2016 with The Life of Pablo. The album had a ton of religious elements. Kanye, the night of release, had praised Paul the Apostle and said that the album was actually the life of Paul, the life of Pablo, and that Paul was the most powerful messenger. We know that the story of Paul was going from a sinner to a saint, and that's what we see the overall story and arc on the life of Pablo being. He's caught up between a sinful life or a life of faith and family, and he eventually chooses faith and family over some of the sinful indulgences that he details on Father Stretch My Hands Part 1, Famous, Highlights, that really are in the opening part of the album where he's experiencing that tension. But coming out of this increased association with his faith, with reading the Bible in 2016, 2017, heading into 2018, as Kanye's been studying this more and more, what do we see with Ye and Kitsy Ghosts? We see both of those albums have a 3-1-3 structure. It was Kanye's first attempts at chiastic structure. And we see him looking at the idea of darkness next to light on Ye. And you have the three songs that are the dark thoughts, the pivot point of what it leave, and then the three songs that are the beautiful thoughts that come out of the darkness. And Kids See Ghost, you have them in the dark place of their mental health before finding a sense of self-ownership and self-destination and self-control that is associated not just with self-control, but with faith in God. And the last half of Kids See Ghost really looks at positive mental health being a byproduct of a positive relationship with yourself and a positive relationship with God. The last lines that we hear, Lord, shine your light on me, save me, please. So we could see Kanye kind of testing out this chiastic structure in 2018. And now he's using it in a much more relatively maximal way on Jesus is King, where it seemed like those 2018 albums were a testing ground.
Yeah. And I think the coolest part of it is, you know, in our overview episode, we were really framing as, you know, this 5-1-5 structure, and the first five songs are kind of in a negative place and the last five are in a positive place. I'm starting to question that a little bit, mostly because I do think Kanye has grasped the chiastic structure way better than he did on Ye and Kitsy Ghost, where the first half of the album is kind of like dark and scary and unwelcoming and, you know, not a good place to be in. And by the end, like, he's learning how to be better. I mean, this entire album is him praising God. Like, he, even though he starts out the album like kind of angry and, as he notes it, not Christ-like, I think there's some element of it that, like, Kanye's still fighting a good fight. You know, he's still on God's side. He still is wearing the armor from God, and he is ready to fight for what he believes in, which has a lot of good qualities to it. So I think that's interesting here, because then that lends better to me to the chiastic structure, because then, like, it really does become meditative. Like, it really does become this moment where you can look at yourself and think about, like, what you're putting out in this album and, like, what your energy is. And it really speaks to him being bipolar. It, like, there's a difference. It's not necessarily good and bad, like Ye posits. It's ramped up and calm and relaxed and thoughtful. And it's, I think that's really what you're seeing here in the album. Like, and that's why Every Hour is such a key song, because it does kind of have this manic, upbeat energy that we see from Kanye when he's ramped up. And everything being sung in the song is great, but it carries that attitude that we see from Kanye when he's ready, you know, when he's ready to lay it down and, like, fight and stick up for what he believes in.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because we talked before about the duality that was starting to be present on Kanye albums. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, even in the language of that line, the contrasting poles of beautiful and dark, like beautiful and twisted. Yeezus, you have half of the guest features showcasing vulnerability and the other half of the guest features showcasing this ego and bravado, and those two aspects of the Yeezus character, those two aspects of Kanye really competing for dominance or primacy in which one is he and which one is guiding his decisions at a time. And then Life of Pablo, you see him again torn between two aspects, the which one being on the cover over and over again. And then on Ye, you have I Hate Being Bipolar, It's Awesome. On Jimmy Kimmel, Kanye talked about how it wasn't a opposites thing. It was kind of a simultaneous thing. And maybe that's a way of seeing this too. Like, it's not an opposites thing. It's just the, like, two different energies that can occur at once or be present in the same person, this calmness and more of this intensity. And that's something that Kanye has battled with himself.
Yeah, totally. Ooh, that's a lot. It's a lot of preface material right there.
Yes, 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 yes. So now we get to the lyrics.
Do we, though? Because I kind of wanted to talk about 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, oh, because the title. I mean, so the song title, Every Hour.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
You know, when you look at the lyrics themselves, Every Hour comes up a lot. It would make sense. It's kind of the overriding mission statement, sing every hour. But there's a basis for that.
There is. And before we do that, like, I feel like we should address the fact that we're going to be researching the Bible a lot this season, because I feel like some people might take issue with us just taking a phrase like every hour and searching for it in the Bible and then applying meaning to it.
Yeah. So we had noted just a few minutes ago, Kanye throughout his discography has used references and samples, like movie references, song references, lyrical references. He sampled and interpolated songs to always bring them in and provide this deeper context or meaning to the song. I think that the only time we've ever encountered Kanye using a reference that hasn't been in some way applicable to the lyrics of the song was the, what's it got, Aphex Twin?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an ambient song.
Yeah, it's just an ambient song. So what meaning, like anytime there's ambient music or just like techno music in that way, there's no meaning attached to it. There it's just purely sound, but everything else, it always fits in some capacity. And now that he's really into the Bible, it would make sense that he would take that same process. To us, it makes sense that he would do that same thing, but with the Bible.
Yeah, which to me is like, duh. Like, it's a much harder argument to say, like, ooh, like this lyric from this song that he's interpolating means something to the narrative. Like, I could see somebody kind of rolling their eyes at that, like if they don't think Kanye is doing narratives on his albums. But I don't know, man. When you're steeped in the Bible and like that's what your life is seemingly all about, like preaching the word of God and having a Sunday service, like his whole life seems to have been upended by religion. So it makes sense to me that if he's constantly reading the Bible every night before bed, which he says he does, that language is naturally going to creep into your lyrics. So
we have two like lines in this song that are phrases specifically from Psalms in the Bible.
Yeah.
And then you have another phrase that we'll get to at another point that is clearly a snippet of a phrase, but we know that Kanye has read that part, Ephesians 6, and thought about it and almost included it on the album. So we're seeing these like direct, perfect references and also these indirect kind of, in quotes, imperfect references that may seem a little more like, are you sure? But we know that there's evidence for like, yes, this does connect to that because he was thinking about this. He wrote the name and the phrase down. So every hour would be less one of those perfect phrases where it's just the exact word and phrase with enough of them that you're like, okay, that's the same. But yes.
It just so happens that exact phrase only appears one time in the Bible. God, let's just launch into this. So 1 Corinthians is a Pauline epistle known as the Letters of Paul. And Paul, we know Kanye loves Paul. He, you know, wrote an entire album from as him as like a modern day Paul, you know, this Pablo character. And so Paul wrote these letters regarding this time in the city of Corinth in Greece. And they really provide a lot of insight into the beliefs and controversies of early Christianity. Like, Paul visited the city because he found that immorality had plagued them. You know, they worshiped Aphrodite and fostered prostitution in the name of their religion and everything. Like, they were so immoral, actually, that a phrase was formed around them called to Corinthianize. And it came to mean to practice sexual immorality. So the purpose of Paul's writings here were to instruct and restore the church in its areas of weakness and its false teachings. And I guess the big thing was they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, of Christ. And so kind of the outline of 1 Corinthians, I think it's 16 chapters total. Like, the first six chapters cover the misconception of the Christian message, and the next eight chapters, early instructions on marriage and public worship. But the 15th one is the really important one, and where we get this phrase, every hour. And the 15th chapter just covers the resurrection of Jesus. And kind of the whole, I guess the journey of the 15th chapter is that, you know, Christ died for our sins, and his resurrection then serves as a metaphor for, like, the baptism of man, of this kind of spiritual rebirth you can experience. Verse 12 reads, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man." And this is where we get the every hour line from chapter 15, lines 29 to 34, which Chris will now read because I can't do this shit.
Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us drink and eat, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. So when we hear the context of every hour in this, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? To me, it really feels like this idea of you endanger yourself every hour because it's through this praise of God. It's through making people know about God's existence, who enlightening them who are ignorant, that you're able to then save. And it's through the resurrection and through this baptism that all of us are saved. So it becomes like critical and crucial to endanger yourselves every hour to talk about Christ in order to get this point across. Because if you fought wild beast in Ephesus with no more hope, with no more than human hopes, what is there? The human element in and of itself is presented as something hollow. It's only through the spiritual accompaniments of Christ, Jesus, God, that gives it more meaning and makes it gain worthy.
Yeah, which I think really speaks to the journey of the album. Like, it makes me just think 1 Corinthians is just an outline for everything you'll hear from there on out. It's one thing to live on earth as a believer of God, you know, as a Christian. It's another to enact the word of God and to kind of go out there and fight in the name of God, the way it's being framed here. And I don't think it's seen as a bad thing, which again is like makes me wonder if there is even any real negative energy on the album. But instead, Kanye just in a different ramped up state, like ready to fight because he feels that's part of his duty. There's this whole part at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where he's talking about, you know, the body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It's getting at this idea that we're born as flawed human beings, but then we become a part of heaven if we live by God's word. So to me, that's kind of the journey of the whole album, is Kanye slowly embracing who he needs to be to get into heaven, to be, you know, in God's heaven, be at the right hand of God and be there with him and helping him carry out his mission in the afterlife. It's Kanye's taking that on here on earth in his mortal body.
Well, yeah, there's that one line, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And I think that that would be kind of the duality that we have here, is the first half of the chiasm is is more weakness or their weaker moments.
Sure.
And the last half is more power. And both are well-intentioned, but they each have their different energies to them.
Yeah.
And the different specificities. And I think we do see maybe early on this idea that there's a need to help raise the dead. And that's what Every Hour is trying to get at, is saying like, hey, you need to be singing, because if not, we should just eat and drink for tomorrow we die. And by the end of the album, you really do see Kanye in a place where he is helping to raise the dead.
Yeah. And, you know, Every Hour, like you're saying, like, it's all singing, it's all gospel choir, and psalms are written in this style of music. Like, it's getting this idea that music captures something special. And I think that's what the very end of 1 Corinthians really gets at. It again signals the journey of the album, because this inheritance you earn as somebody who carries out the word of God, you know, being able to go to heaven and be recognized by God, this is symbolized through music. Lines 51, 52 of chapter 15, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. I'm going to let Chris take this one.
Oh my God. The trumpet moment, I think, is the coolest thing. So as Travis just said, there's this idea that it's at the last trumpet, and when the trumpet sounds, that the dead will be raised and that like everything will be changed. And on this album, Kanye isn't really known for using brass instruments, right? Like a trumpet in his albums. Like, pianos are in there, guitars are in there, synths are in there for sure, but not a lot of brass instruments. And you have this idea of the trumpet being foreshadowed on Corinthians 1 or Corinthians 15, where the phrase "every hour" comes from. And then by the end of the album, we get on Jesus is Lord four brass instruments. And the first one is really introduced, the saxophone on Use This Gospel.
Just hold on to your brother when his faith lost.
So the whole album builds up to this climactic moment on Use This Gospel, where we have a highlight that's this saxophone solo that's really given this breath and space to showcase itself, which might seem strange if you're just like, why have a sax solo? But when you understand that the idea that there's something to the trumpet, the brass instruments, there's more in the Bible and some of the things that we're going to talk about that get at the instruments being used in this praise of God, that when we get to Jesus as Lord and you hear there being a tuba, a trumpet, a trombone, and a saxophone, and a French horn, and a euphonium, I don't even know if that's a brass instrument, but you have like a medley of brass instruments in there.
Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess.
And it all to me seems to come back to this idea of the trumpet that's foreshadowed here. And that's really, like, again, characterizing the journey, that we're going to this place where it's setting up the idea that you need to raise the dead, and that you need to be able to sing for God, sing for Jesus, because that's the way you get people to realize the Lord's power. And that's when the power really comes down. And by the end of the album, you have that swelling of power in the sense of Jesus is Lord.
Yeah. And on Jesus is Lord, we get the lines, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord. And how does Paul close out 1 Corinthians after he talks about this music coming? After he talks about this trumpet, like, shining its heavenly light down on you. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Well, so now do we get to the actual specific lyrics?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we should probably do that 35 minutes in.
Ah, we're right back to it. Haven't lost a step. So the chorus begins with "Sing every hour," and you have kind of a multitude of voices going on. You have one group that's saying, "Sing every hour, every minute, every second, sing each and every millisecond. We need you, we need you, we need you, oh, we need you." And the "we need you" really seems to be saying that your voice needs to be added to this choir, right? Like, it can't just be us alone. Like, we need you, we need you, we need you. And then you have an echoing number of voices that are just repeating the chronal references every hour, every minute, every second. We need you, we need you. So you just kind of get that call and response, and it's really like a call and response setup. And then you have the final group that is finishing some phrases. So "sing every hour" gets the response of "till the power." "Every minute of the Lord, every second comes, sing each and every millisecond down." And that last group is really saying, "sing every hour till the power of the Lord comes down." So you have these layers already in the different choral voices, and you have the message and the meaning of, we need you to join your voice in this because we have to bring the power of the Lord down to everybody. And so you really do get this sense of a pull towards something, a pull to inclusion, a pull to add your voice. And that's why we say that this album is really setting up that idea of adding your voice to the choir. And what's it mean to add your voice to the choir?
Yeah, it's kind of a similar opening to Ultra Light Beam, where it's another gospel-y song that, you know, has a choir and has that uplifting sound that Kanye's not really a part of. Kanye's not even in Every Hour. So, okay, we got that. But Ultra Light Beam, he's there, but he's not really part of the energy of the song, which I think is really representative of his journey. You know, he's not singing in a choir. He's kind of, he's next to it.
We on an ultra light beam. We on an ultra light beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything.
He wants to channel that energy. He wants to find power from it. And that's what the album ends up being. You know, that's the journey he goes on. That's why Ultra Light Beam isn't exactly part of the narrative we'll see, but more of like this overview, this landscape view. And I think that's kind of what we get here. Although Every Hour is a little bit more part of the story. It's this, I think it represents the state that Kanye's in at the beginning, because again, being bipolar, very ramped up. The song is very sped up and a little manic, and isn't exactly the same as when you hear the song that it's brought in a lot of its lyrics from, "Now Let Us Sing," which is just like a straightforward gospel song.
Yeah, "Now Let Us Sing" is, I guess, a popular song. Hymnary.org mentions the publication date being 1978. And you get the lyrics, "Now let us sing, sing till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your voice, lift up your voice. Be not afraid. Now let us sing till the power of the Lord comes down." And that idea of being not afraid to add your voice to the choir, I think also gets to what we're saying about this setting up the idea of somebody joining. And you even look back to Ultra Light Beam, and right when Kanye first starts talking, saying, "We on an ultra light beam," we have the dream behind him saying, "I'm trying to keep my faith.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe, and in my holy war, I'm trying to keep my faith."
That's one of the first things that we hear, is this idea that there's a struggle for faith. And then Kirk Franklin has the outro.
Father, this prayer's for everyone that feels they're not good enough. This prayer's for everybody that feels that they're too messed up.
And it says, Father, this prayer is for everyone that feels they're not good enough. This prayer is for everybody that feel that they're too messed up. For everyone that feels they've said, I'm sorry too many times. So it's people that really doubt their ability to be forgiven by God, or that feel like they've sinned so much that God can't bring them back, or that they can't return to the faith. So then you have the lines, for everyone that feels they've said, I'm sorry too many times, you can never go too far when you can't come back home again. And that's reinforced later on Low Lights.
Me to give you a testimony about my life and how good he's been to me. I don't know what to tell you about him. I love him so much with all my heart and my soul. With every bone in my body, I love him so much because he's done so much for me. Every morning, every day of my life, I won't always be crying tears.
You're wondering, like, what he means to me, what he's been there for me. Like, this is it. Like, you want me to give you a testimony about my life and how good he's been to me. And she's just saying, like, you know, he accepts me through everything. And he's been there for me, and it gives me strength to be accepted for who you are and love no matter what. That's the thing that Pablo, on the life of Pablo, has to realize. And that's the thing that on Wolves, we eventually see him and Kim kind of understanding, is that even though they both feel that they have been too wild and are too broken, they can still love each other.
You too wild, you too wild.
And that might seem incredible to them, that somebody will love them even though they're broken, but they love somebody else that's broken. And in that, there's this empowerment and this beauty and this forgiveness of the other, forgiveness of self. And that becomes a manifestation of Kanye's relationship with God in that, and being able to come back to God. But there's something here that's that same idea of there still being a fear of adding your voice to the group.
Yeah. I mean, again, the line it pulls from in 1 Corinthians, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? It's interesting that he takes this pretty straightforward gospel song that it's just about singing until the Lord comes down. And he's really taking that hint of, you know, being not afraid. And I think he just takes that element of the song and really blows it up to like a Kanye level, because that's Kanye's whole journey forever, right? Like being at peace of himself and not being scared to be himself and not letting the world tell him he can't be himself. Like I think there's a little bit of a dauntingness to this song that he isn't just say, be not afraid, which would be kind of obvious. It's seen every hour, every minute, every second, every millisecond. He warps the lyrics and changes it into something very urgent and ups the tempo of the song to the point where it doesn't even sound like a gospel song anymore. It sounds like a production. It sounds very much the opposite of Jesus as Lord at the end, where the brass instruments come in and it's very calm and meditative, and you really do feel like the light is finally shining down on Kanye. Here, it seems like he wants to channel that. He wants to sing until the power of the Lord comes down, but he hasn't quite found the proper state to be a good Christian in yet.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a meta element to that question too. Why do we endanger ourselves every hour? And that jammed up against like, lift up your voice, be not afraid. We know that as far back as Jesus Walks, Kanye talked about, you can rap about sex, drugs, lies, videotape, but you rap about God and your record won't get played. I need Jesus. So here go my single dog, radio needs this. They said you can rap about anything except for Jesus. That means guns, sex, lies, videotape. But if I talk about God, my record won't get played, huh? Well, if this take away from my spins, which it probably take away from my ends, then I hope it take away from my sins and bring the day that I'm dreaming about. Next time I'm in the club, everybody screaming out. And as bold as it was to have Jesus Walks and Never Let Me Down on his album, Kanye didn't really continue in the religious gospel vein on his albums after that. Like, I don't think Late Registration had another song that was similar to that. Graduation certainly didn't, unless you call like the sample of the glory similar. But then you look at where he goes with 808s and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, far, far away from Jesus Walks. And Kanye has talked about how he thought Life of Pablo was a gospel album. And even as religious as Life of Pablo was, it still felt very much a hip hop album rather than a gospel album. And you can, I think, see Kanye reaching a point where he is going to not be fearful of being unabashedly Christian. And instead of feeling like it's going to be something that sets him back, it's going to be something that powers him forward. And I think part of that gets at that idea of like endangering yourself every hour. He's ready to put himself with this album in that spot where he's imperiling himself, but he's doing it because he wants to wake people up. He wants to get people praising the Lord. He wants to make it okay to sing and for people to add their voice.
Yeah, which I think really speaks to his Sunday service gospel choir. You know, they're the stars of this first song, and it's really representative of that, this church he wanted to start. Part of his way of getting the word out there and finding his voice, I think, was doing these choirs and doing music with them and finding a new kind of sound. It's really kind of beautiful to just showcase them at the beginning, even though it's in this crazy up-tempo manner. Like, he kind of makes them the stars of this moment, and I think it just becomes representative of his journey in that way.
Mm-hmm. So we get to the first verse, finally.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse, nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Rock. Rockt. Der neue T-Rock.
We have the full phrase now coming to fruition. Sing till the power of the Lord comes down. Sing till the power of the Lord comes down. And then we get the additional, let everything that have breath praise God. And this is really our first direct, like perfect Bible reference. And it comes from, is it Psalm 150?
150, my friend. The last one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So 150 Psalms in the Bible. This is Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpets. Oh, praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So,
curious.
Yeah. Wow. The other, we have another line, praising the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, is used later in every hour. But you have both of those phrases coming from Psalm 150. And that idea of let everything that has breath praise the Lord is the eventual arrival place that you want to get to. And part of this process that Psalm 150 lays out is bringing in the trumpet, bringing in the timbrel and the dancing, the strings and the pipe, all these musical sounds and notes that end up praising God. So the cacophony, the beautiful cacophony that we hear on Jesus is Lord, seems to be payoff then of Psalm 150. But Kanye is just foreshadowing it here with references to let everything that has breath praise the Lord and praise God in his sanctuary. So the first and last lines of the psalm. Yep.
All right, I'm chopping at the bit here. When do we get to Ephesians?
Oh my God. Okay. So... Sing to the power of the Lord comes down, for his mighty works and his excellent grace and his mighty power. Yeah.
Yeah.
So mighty power is a phrase that also appears twice in the Bible. The first time is in Psalm 106, and it arrives in the description of the Israelites leaving Egypt. And when Moses is leading them out of Egypt and they get to the Red Sea, it says, "When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert." So there it just, you know, talks about the Israelis going out of Egypt, parting the Red Sea, arriving in the desert, Moses getting the Ten Commandments and everything that follows there. But you get the first mention of the mighty power and him being able to save people and bring them out of a situation in which they were slaves. And then you also have it in Ephesians 6. So Ephesians 6, it's mentioned under the section called the armor of God. So starting with line 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms."
Ooh.
"Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Whew. And then in addition to all of this, "Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God." Yeah, so a lot of not being oppressed, right? Whether that's from the Egyptians or from all of the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world that would gather against. But a lot of the language in there about using the breastplate of righteousness and the sword and all of that, it makes me think of use this gospel and the idea that you use the gospel for protection.
Use this gospel for protection. It's a hard road to heaven. We call on your blessings. In the Father, we put our faith. King of the King.
And we even saw on the first track list that Kim Kardashian posted on Twitter, not the manila folder that has the actual track list that wasn't the actual track list, but if you look at the manila folder, there's also a notepad up and to the right, and then another sheet of paper that looks like it had an original track list that predated the one on the folder. And on that track list, you see Sweet Jesus, Wake the Dead, Glade, Baptized, a couple others, but also Breastplate of Righteousness.
Ooh.
Or Breastplate of Right. So we know that Kanye had Ephesians 6 in the armor of God in mind at some point for a song title in referencing the breastplate of righteousness. And this is what we're talking about with, like, you know, every hour, does it connect to 1 Corinthians 15? Maybe, but his mighty power might seem like a, oh, could that possibly just be a reference to Ephesians 6? Mm. Yeah, when we know that Kanye was thinking about breastplate of righteousness at some point and was going to use it for a song, you can then see that, yeah, he makes that reference here. And that probably then is a reference for use this gospel for protection.
You want another connection between 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. You know who wrote Ephesians?
Who wrote Ephesians?
Paul himself.
What?
Mr. Pablo.
And then Corinthians 15, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained?
Yeah. Again, I think this gets at the energy of the album, and that when you're fighting in those first five songs, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, spiritual warfare isn't negative, in quotes. It's more just like, it's almost necessary. It's just part of your journey as a Christian. And it doesn't need to be seen as like combative necessarily, but just like this fight you have to partake in. And you doing your duty, spreading the word of God and trying to tell others about the word of God so you can, you know, enrich their lives and make their lives better. And that's really part of what this is. But I think a lot of times the language makes it seem kind of combative and over the top. But I Ephesians 6 here, to me, that really captures the beauty of it. Like, it's not necessarily that you're fighting and that you could die. It's that you're wearing the full armor of God. God is protecting you because you're fighting for him and you're carrying out his word. That applies directly, I think, to Moses parting the sea. Like, he's using this power he got from God because he had to go out and lead these people somewhere good. It's meant to be seen as like something you wear to protect you as opposed to like a weapon you use against people.
God, not to bring in even more references, but we are a few days away from the debut of the opera that Kanye talked about, Nebuchadnezzar. Mm. And Nebuchadnezzar's story takes place in the book of Daniel. He's mentioned in chapter 1 as he takes over Israel, and he's just kind of mentioned as like, oh, this guy came in and he took over Israel. Daniel, this is what Daniel was doing. But he's really the focus of chapters 2, 3, and 4, and Daniel's interactions with him. And first, Daniel interprets a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and the other people couldn't tell him what the dream was. That was the weird thing. Nebuchadnezzar was just being like, tell me what I dreamed, and then tell me what it means. And all of his people were like, what? We can't do that. Like, oh, what? How do we? So Daniel's like, God told me this was your dream, and this is what it means. And Nebuchadnezzar's like, oh, your God's pretty cool, but didn't like buy into the Christian God at that point, right? Or the God of the Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Then the next story, Nebuchadnezzar builds like a 90-foot tall gold thing that he wants everybody to pray to and give praise to. And these three guys that are Jewish and pray to like the Hebrew God, they refuse. And Nebuchadnezzar's just like, well, I'm going to kill anybody that refuses. And they're like, we still refuse because our God is like the only God that we'll pray to. We're not going to pray to this giant gold idol that you put up. So Nebuchadnezzar's like, I'm going to throw you in a fire. Like, I am going to throw you into this furnace if you don't do it. And they're like, God's going to protect us. Like, it's okay. God will protect us. And he's like, all right. And throws them into the fire, and they sit there just fine. Like, they're standing there, not burning, and Nebuchadnezzar's kind of rubbing his eyes, and he's like, wait, are they okay? Is that an angel beside them? Get those guys out of here. So then they bring him out, and he's like, well, okay, your God is really powerful, and I give praise to him. And then it's the next story where God strips Nebuchadnezzar of his crown and then drives him crazy and makes him go out into the wild for some amount of time before restoring Nebuchadnezzar's sanity and then restoring his crown. And at that point, Nebuchadnezzar becomes fully converted to Jesus and God.
Oh, gosh. Are we done yet?
So, yeah, talk about like being like in the armor of God. Like those guys were thrown into fire because they believed and they were fine. So, yeah.
And I think a big part of this too is, you know, kind of compared Nebuchadnezzar to his Jesus period. And I think a big part of that, I feel like you can see a lot of that energy in this reference and throughout the album, is that when Jesus was fighting for God and say like, I am a God, there's a honesty and beauty to like the sentiments, I guess. Like Kanye sees himself as like an equal to God. He's channeling his inner God and is going to carry out the word of God. The problem with Jesus is that his ego completely takes over and he's more thinking about himself than he's thinking about like the good he can do with God's word. To where here, it's like that journey Nebuchadnezzar goes on. It's realizing what good you can do with your power and not being so self-centered and self-focused and thinking about what your power and what your high level of status can do.
So the verse ends with kind of this like joyousness with the let us sing and knowing what your role is and what's at stake. And then you just repeat the chorus the same way again. You repeat the bridge, and the bridge does have the version of sing till the power of the Lord falls down, and we are to sing till the power of the Lord comes down. So maybe that active passive dynamic going on again. And then the chorus one more time.
And I think one really important thing to note here, and I don't want to dip into Selah too soon, but the second every hour ends, Selah starts, and they have completely different tones.
God is king, we the soldiers. Ultra beam out the solar. When I get to heaven's gates, I ain't gotta peek over. Keeping perfect composure when I scream at the
shoulder. Even though every hour is kind of sped up and doesn't seem like you're part of reality, like it's still a gospel song. Like it's still something very joyous and very upbeat, which is the switch to Selah, which is like synthy, organy, like it carries this like heavy weight immediately that is completely the opposite. And it happens so quickly that I almost feel like it's part of every hour, that like every hour and Selah are kind of one being, kind of like Father Stretch My Hands part one and two. Like those energies are meant to juxtapose each other and contrast each other. And I think it's even more jarring here. I remember the first time I listened to the album, I was completely thrown off by it and thought it was like such a crazy decision by Kanye. I thought it made no sense. And now it's like, oh, like he's really showing you that he's trying to capture this energy of every hour by immediately juxtaposing it with like something droney and opposite.
Well, yeah, you see how like full and energetic every hour is because of the choir. And then when you go to Selah, it's just one voice. And it's somebody that's not adding their voice to the choir yet, right? And not in the same way. And having that emptiness and that space contrasting the two really does set up that idea of the power of the group versus the individual.
If you woke, don't wake up with Judas kissing makeup. Even with the bitter cup, forgave my brothers and drank up, did everything but gave up.
And it, again, it's, to me, it reminds me of Ultra Light Beam, because in Selah, we have the choir coming back in, and they're singing Hallelujah while Kanye is not singing. He's rapping, and it's very heavy and angry. It's, again, very outside of what, you know, is godly, which what is accepted by the community, what is, like, in quotes, like being a good Christian. And I think that, again, you can weave the choir from Every Hour and with the choir from Salah, it's all meant to capture that energy.
Well, I think that's all I got.
Yeah, gosh, I'm late for happy hour.
It's just an hour to talk about a song that has less unique lines than Streetlights.
We just spent it twice as long as the album is talking about the first song. How do you feel about that?
I feel pretty gosh darn good.
I feel pretty sexy.
Yeah. Can't wait to get into Salah. Salah.
Oh, man. Salah.
Salah. Salah.
The beauty is nobody says it the same, so you could say it anyway and be right.
The weirdest thing about that word is, like, if you Google the word and look it up, it's feels like it's literally the most mysterious word in existence. Like, people have translated so much of the Bible, and then they're like, we don't know what this means. It could be a pause. It could mean, like, reflection. It could mean, I don't know. And nobody knows how to pronounce it either. So just do with it what you want. It's kind of like a blank tile in Scrabble.
So, of course, Kanye would use it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, too. It's associated with the Psalms, right?
Right.
And here the Psalms have been such a big part of just setting up the album. It's kind of fitting that something that's so necessary to them is where we start with Kanye coming in.
He's challenging us in different ways.
Yep. He'll give us what we need.
I want it, though.
Me too. Me too. Well, so we'll be back in a week's time.
Yeah. But until then, make sure you visit our Twitter page and check out the Kanye West Song Tournament bracket we created, where the Kanye community is going to be voting on Twitter for a bunch of song matchups we've organized. There's 154 songs, I think, in the bracket. And only one can win, and only you can decide.
Oh, yeah. And what's that bracket called? The Best Kanye West Song Tournament Deathmatch Extreme.
Yeah. And you can make predictions for the whole bracket. There's a bunch of people making predictions now. Where I think we're in the 300s, and you can win. You could be number one, and it's all about bragging rights this year.
Yeah, and this is the third year we've done the online version on Twitter. It goes from December 1st to December 25th, and the previous winners aren't in it. So if you want to find out what's missing, go check out the brackets.
We're not going to tell
and you. And no. Got to have a little mystery in life, you know?
Yeah. And one last thing. You may have heard on our last episode, but we're moving all of our song analyses over to Patreon. And you'll be able to listen to all of them for $5 a month. But we're kind of clearing up our feed, our public feed, because we're going to be switching up the show a little bit. So this week we're moving all of the late registration episodes over there. So if you're wondering why they're gone, that's why.
Yeah, and part of this is because after we finish Jesus is King, getting into 2020, we're going to be doing a whole new style of analysis going back over those albums. So we didn't want to have the new episodes clashing with the old. So our new analysis is still going to be available to everybody free of charge on everything. But all of the analysis from 2015 into 2019 before Jesus is King go into the archive. So week by week, one album gets thrown into the vault. But your support on Patreon is very much appreciated.
And we'll leave Jesus is King up for a bit, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. Like a day.
And then it's done. It's gone.
Yeah, you're going to have to sing for it.
All right, let's cue the trumpets and get out of here.
All right. Oh, isn't that where you use trumpets?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and keep playing.
Touch the sky.
Yeah, but keep playing.
I can't do it anymore. No, I'm getting nervous.
No, come on.
No. Stay wavy.
All right, and loopy and holy.
And I am. And they ask me, I tell them.
Raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to